Let's start with Mark 12. We're going to do a reading together, but let's go to Mark 12 first. Where my thoughts came from, what stirred them up. Mark 12:29. Jesus answered him. So he was asked what the law was, which commandment was the first commandment. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And read something right. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. It's common in our society to hear, I need to love myself before I can love others. And yes, in order to love our neighbor as ourselves, we do need to love ourselves. If we hate ourselves and love our neighbor the same, we're hating our neighbor. But then, how do we do this? Loving others is affected by our love for God. But how do we love God without understanding His love for us? So my thoughts went to His love for us. So let's read John 3:14-21 together. It's a very common well-known verses that it's good to be well-known, but sometimes it's also skimmed over. So John 3, starting with 14, so that's an even number. We'll let you start with it then. Ready? Begin.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God.
And this is the condemnation, that the light came, has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed.
But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Father, thank you for sacrificing for us, giving us life through your Son, privilege to even be able to come to you the way you created us, to fulfill the way you created us. Thank you, Father. You're so good. So let's go to 1 John 4. First John 4:7, and we'll read in the chapter 5 a little bit. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? In this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So back to verse 7. Love is God. We are born of God and know God. Without God, we don't even know what love is. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Again, God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. His love produces life. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for us. Love initiates through God, and he paid for what separated us from him and brought the union back. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. That abiding together and the perfect love. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Through his love, he gives us his Spirit. Makes a whole world of difference. Is that right to say that? A world of difference? Makes a lot of difference. Having his Spirit or not having his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. In God, and God in us. A connected, intertwined living. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And he removes the fear. Another place it's stated, love casts out fear. Love and fear don't coincide together. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. God's love flows through us. Gives us the ability to love others. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who is begotten, also loves him. I can't repeat the same word. Whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. who is begotten of God? Our first thought is Jesus. How did we get here? Through God. So in a sense, we're begotten of God. Humans, so when we love the Father, we love the Son, we also love others of his creation. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Because the commandment is to love, and he gives us the love to let it pass. Gives us the love that we can pass on. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So through his love, he also gives us the power to overcome. So a question for you to ponder for a few minutes, and then we'll come back to it and let you give some answers. What ways, either personal or in the Bible, have you seen God's love working in your lives? So let's go to Luke while we're thinking of that. Luke 11, starting with verse 9. Through 13. So I say to you, you ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened to you. So through God's love, his desire to fulfill what's good for us. As we ask, we're given. As we seek, we find. As we knock, it's open. Obviously, in the context of a father knows what's good for his children. If a son asks bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Obviously, the Holy Spirit is is on the good side for us. So if we ask, we'll receive. So back to the question. Does anyone want to share ways that you've seen God's love? There's a whole lot more described in the Bible, and we have experiences.
I think God's love is seen both in mothers and fathers. He's got the tenderness of a mother and the strength of a father. And so that's how I see it. Like, in, not saying every parent, but most parents. You know, the mother will nurture her child and protect her child and just make sure that the child will grow the way that it should. And the father shows the strength that a child needs, the discipline, and so forth. So I think it's, you know, it's a great picture of who God is.
Yes.
As it says in the Bible, like, you know, he would gather his children as a hen would cover the chicks. But also you see God's strength and how he deals with sin, his power.
Mm-hmm. Mother hen is a good picture of a mother and offspring, children. Yes.
And I agree with you in a sense. You know, you're right. We, left to our own device, our love is self-centered. Without God, we would continue to be so. We grow up very self-centered. Whereas with Christ, it's not only about us, but it's about others. Because God cares for us. He gives us love.
So that brings a question to my mind. Is self-centered love really self, really love?
Yeah. But we are all egocentric, yeah.
Because, yeah.
You know, God even says, you know, don't live for your own benefit, but of those around you. So he's not telling us not to take care of ourselves, but don't always just look to yourself. But how does it affect others?
I've been walking through a season where, well, growing up, I felt like I always had to fight for myself. And that self-protection type of thing. And the Lord has really been showing me this past season that he's the one fighting for me in my battles. I am only there to, I shouldn't say only there, but like, he is taking me along for the journey.
One example that I thought of was there's been times that I've been unsure, how do I know if I'm deceived or not? Being told, this is what God says, this is what I have to do, and sometimes there was a question, okay, how do I know? What do I go by? God gave me peace when I realized that his word doesn't leave us hanging. He explains his word through his word. So that peace was a result of his love and revealing that. The assurance that I don't need to fear whether I'm deceived or not, he reveals it. reveals his truth.
You know, speaking about that too, the world has a very warped sense of what love is.
Right.
It has a really warped sense of, and unfortunately, you know, you can do that with children. Giving them everything they want is not good. Getting everything that we want is not good, because we don't have the wisdom to see into the future all the time, you know, or how this would be, how this would affect others. So I think I just love that God is very balanced with strength and tenderness. So
yes,
yeah, that's a great point. You know, I think of that Beatles song, "She Loves You." Yeah, yeah, yeah. With a love like that, you should be glad, right? And of course, that's not biblical love. That's an infatuation, an emotional position for a moment, perhaps. But when we're talking about God's love, we're talking about much more than just our mental and emotional state. We're talking about something substantial, of course, in eternity. And so, you know, it's easy for me when I read passages like these to go, wow, do I come up short? Because, you know, thinking about God's love and in my attempt to have God's love, wow, I've got a long ways to go, you know. But I think for me, one of the key verses in this entire area is verse 15 in 1 John 4, where he says, "All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them." And to me, that's sort of the gateway to understanding this passage, because otherwise I'm going to be swimming around going, well, I don't know. I don't really measure up in a lot of these areas. I certainly don't have that same strength of God's love operating in my life. I sure wish I did. But to go back to your first point, Nathan, about, you know, we can't love others until we really have learned to love ourselves, but I'm not truly loving myself correctly until I see myself the way God sees me. Now that begins to have that key, but I'm not going to get there until I declare first that Jesus is the Son of God. Of course, that's the entry point to salvation. Realizing that, wow, he came and died in my place, and I've decided to receive that sacrifice for my sin. Without those entry points, I don't think I can even figure it out.
I agree with you, and I also think love is truth. Some people do not want to hear it, but sure. Mm. I think in this society, we have to play nice or be nice, and kind and nice are not the same thing. Because you can love someone, I mean, being nice can send them straight to hell. You know, whereas being kind and telling them the truth, not my truth, God's truth, or, you know, God showing it to them, there's that sense of right and wrong and so forth. You need what does it say in the Proverbs? Better that you have a slap from a friend than kisses from an enemy.
Well, exactly right, because today our world says, well, you don't love me if you don't agree with me.
Exactly.
You know, you don't accept me unless you agree with everything I'm involved in. And nothing could be further from the truth.
And just going to pick a segue in what you said, you know, even our modern music, like, I mean, a week or so ago, I turned on the radio, it was secular, and I was like, I can't believe I sang that song, because when you listen to it, it's all about, like, sex is equated with love. It's
right.
Like you were saying, it's all based, where God's love is a covenant. It's like, I'm going to love you in spite of yourself. It's, what is it, is Hosea and Gomer. But that, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's God's sacrificial love. And that's, to me, is totally amazing that he bought her back. And that was a picture of Israel buying her back. And it, love is a covenant. Like I said, feelings come and go, but it's that commitment. Even like the marriage vows, I think that's very much of the Lord, you know, in sickness and health, regardless, I'm going to be with you. And that's very, I agree. I don't think people can do that. I don't think they have a stamina or their wherewithal within themselves to do it. And it has to be in God's strength, in God's way. We are needy. We need him to. There's people I find difficult to love, and I would have to ask the Lord. It is just what it is. And, you know, they rub whatever. But you pray. You just say, Lord, help me to love them. And I find myself many times lacking. I have to pray, and I'm glad that I do. And sometimes we love and we love wrong, too. You know, we think we know what's best, and that turns out to be a disaster. And I've done it, so.
Speaking about, like, the world's love and stuff, I was just thinking about a friend that we have that grew up knowing about God, but got rid of Burton. He had this moral compass, but he wasn't sure who God actually was. And my husband Jacob and I had this conversation with him very early on about, like, just our relationship. And God is woven through that entire thing. And Jesus is woven through that entire thing. And I remember sitting there going, I want to fix this so bad. I want to convince him so bad. And the Lord just kept saying, like, ask me what you want, what I want you to say next. Like, that's what he was saying. Because, and he just placed it in my heart so heavily that I was planting seeds, and that's all I was doing. I was not there to convince him. I was there to share what God had laid on my heart to share with him. And let him water the seeds. And that was a couple of years ago. He has since come.
Thank you for saying that, because God doesn't need me as a lawyer. And I'm a lousy one at it too. You know, thought about it. I was like, I'm quick to argue, but that's true. It's his words that in your mouth, because you don't know how that it will hit that person. Like, he is intimately aware with that person. He saw that person being knitted in their mother's womb. He knows their days before one was yet to be. He knows they're coming forth and going out. He knows everything about them. And so I agree with you. Sometimes I'll be like, I'll take this. And then God's like, no, you won't. Or he'll correct my mistakes in some whatever way, you know, that God can use even a bad platform and still work his miracles. So.
And then the other side that God is working, like, he's not only fighting for me, he's fighting for us. He has us all on a journey, and it's not going to be where I'm at. Everybody, including the ones that are not saved, including the ones that don't understand love and his love, God has them on this journey, and it's not my job to convince them, which is hard at some point, but also at others, it's very freeing, because then I know, like, all I need to do is be in connection with my Father, and he's the one that's going to, like, use me or not, but to plant those seeds of thoughts, of possibility, of what it looks like to come to Jesus, and he'll take it.
You know, I still struggle with that, because I have family members that are unsaved, and it scares me. It absolutely, but I can't control it anyway, but it scares me. It absolutely scares me. I don't want them to. I want, you know, I know God says, and I know that God is good. I really do see that he puts his hand out and to them. And I just force them to take it. I don't.
It's like the song that Reverend Jonathan sang, you know, he's going to tear down walls, tear down lines.
I know,
he's just going to pursue after us. And another, this week, this verse, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And, you know, God did that from the very beginning. You know, he covered Adam and Eve's shame. And you see it again in, with Noah, his two sons, they covered his shame.
Correct.
God just covers us. And it was just, it was just, you know, beautiful because of what Christ did, that covered everything for me. And then it's the beauty of love.
So another question is, different words we're talking came to mind. What is the difference between the presence of God's love and, I'll say, being saved, being in a right relationship with Him? Because when did we receive His love?
While we were yet sinners.
Yes. So there's a sense of a presence of His love for everybody. And we can't get away from it. We may not. I would say there's a difference in being in the presence of His love like that and realizing His love. Because before we accept what He has for us, His love's there, but it's still, we don't understand it, we don't receive the fullness of it. It's kind of like the physical example of asking for a fish, but we won't reach out and take it. Or not even asking. I'm hungry, but Dad's got it, but I won't ask Him. Applies to the Holy Spirit also. Just having the love available to us is different than receiving the Spirit. Let's turn to John 14. Some of these are maybe a repeat from 1 John, or the other way around. 1 John might have repeated this. But, it's okay to go over them several times. So John 14, starting with 19. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. He gives life because of His love. We live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you and me, and I and you. Father and Jesus in us gives us fellowship with Him. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself in him. Receiving the love of the Father and Him revealing Jesus to us comes out of His love for us. Another thing I'll say is God's love is the type of love that seeks the best for us. Yes, the way He created us, He gets the benefit of fellowship. because he created us for that. But it seeks the best for us at the same time. It's not just a selfish love on God's part. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Another description of being with us is making his home with us. "He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you." The Father sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to teach us, to bring to memory what he's taught us before. 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace given to us is one of those good things that the Father knows that we have need of. Yes.
Can I say something?
Sure.
So when you were talking about God wanting to commune with us, someone said just recently, like, God is longing to see us face to face. And the closer I get and the more ready I get to see our little baby girl, the more it becomes like that. I've pictured it in the past between like a parent and a child in the womb, but it's so real to me right now because that's what I'm ready to see her face.
Mm.
And she, like, I know that she's there more than she knows that she's there. And it's kind of the same, it's not kind of, it's the same way with God as well. Like, he knows our existence far more than we do. And he's just longing to see our, like, he can see our face. Unlike me, I can't see her face. But he can see our face, but he wants us to see his face too. And that communion with God, like that longing, just more real to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
28. "You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." When he comes back, we'll see him face to face. My connection will be complete. And also, he's telling us what he's doing. He's not leaving us in the dark. "And now I've told you before it come, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. And he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. That the world may know that I love the Father. That even Jesus said that he doesn't say anything except what he sees of the Father. So even his love, his son's love, comes from the Father. And also in the picture, they're so inseparable that we have trouble describing the difference. The perspective of God's love to us, so far beyond, provides so far beyond what we could do ourselves. We can't even provide the things that his love provides, let alone come up with love. Father, thank you for the privilege to be yours, to be drawn to you through Jesus, and to have your love revealed to us. Even to know what love is, comes from you. You overwhelm us with your love, with your presence. Thank you, through Jesus, amen.